Welcome to Executive Leaders Radio, your spot in the corner office, the radio show where executives share their secrets to success. Executive Leaders Radio.
You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio, broadcast from Associated Builders and Contractors, the Eastern Pennsylvania chapter. This is your host, Herb Cohen, with my co-host, Drew Hanlon, Jer Papilia, who is President and CEO of ABC East, Amanda Strempeck, Membership, and Karen Higgins, Marketing. Drew, I understand we have a great lineup today. Can you give us a rundown on who we're going to be talking with?
We sure do, Herb. We got Daniel Donatelli, who's the President and COO of C. Raymond Davis. We have Bill Cumbie III, President and CEO of W.S. Cumbie Construction. We have Bill Santora, the CEO of A&E Construction. And we have Chris Pearson. He's the Executive Vice President of the Tri-M Group.
Let's get to know our first guest, Daniel Donatelli, President and COO of C. Raymond Davis. Daniel, what is C. Raymond Davis? What are you guys doing?
We're a general contractor and construction manager. We've been around since 1928. Mm-hmm. We have three offices and about 40 staff.
Uh-huh. Where are you from originally?
Philadelphia. I lived in a row house there.
How many people lived in the row house with you?
There was 10 of us, four boys, four girls, my parents, and a couple dogs.
Uh-huh. How many bathrooms?
One, with a leaky sink.
So there were 10 of you living in a house with one bathroom, and how many bedrooms?
Three.
Uh-huh. Okay. So, and where were you in the pecking order of the eight brothers and sisters?
I was the second brother.
You were the second brother. All right. So tell us a little bit about what your role in the family was back when you were a kid.
Well, when I was a kid, one of my roles was to try to organize all these brothers and sisters of all different ages to help keep our house clean. My parents both worked full-time jobs, and it was our job to keep the house clean, so I managed that.
Were you asked to do that, or did you just sort of like take on that organizing responsibility?
No, I volunteered for it.
Uh-huh. And so you just sort of took on the response. What's that organizing ability? What's that taking on the organizing ability of yours with the brothers and sisters? What's that have to do with the way this business has been built named C. Raymond Davis?
I think it's very similar there. I wanted to help people out. I like to see things get done, and I like to work with people in groups.
Okay. Just wanted to make sure I understood. Drew?
Daniel, can you tell our listening audience a little like what it was like growing up, 8 to 15, where you lived?
Well, I grew up, I worked as a young person. When I was about 12 years old, I worked in Center City cleaning clubs and restaurants for a pretty big company down there, so I got to know Center City pretty well.
You were working as a janitor when you were 12
years
old.
Yep.
Uh-huh. So you were working as a janitor when you're 12 years old. What's that have to do? What did you learn from being a janitor when you were 12 years old and now that you're the president and COO of this company, C. Raymond Davis?
Well, I learned how to work hard there because I hate to say some of the other guys didn't work so hard and we had to get the job done.
So what'd you do different than the other kids that worked in that job as a janitor?
Well, I worked hard. The other guys didn't. Uh-huh. And then I recruited my two brothers who also had a work ethic.
Oh,
and
so
we changed the company around a little bit.
So not only are you an organizer, you're a recruiter.
A little bit.
Does that have anything to do with the reason you've been able to build this business?
It has something to do with it, yes.
Like what?
Well, I think it's if you don't get good people in, you can't go too far.
I just wanted to make sure I understood, Drew.
Yeah. How about for fun? What'd you guys do for fun?
Hung on the street corner.
And what was your role amongst your friend set?
Well, I was one of the organizers there. I was one of the leaders, but not physical prowess, as somebody might have said earlier.
How come you were the leader?
I like to come up with things to do, organize people, come up with good ideas, and I didn't like to be bored.
How about your mom? Can you tell us about your mom?
Yeah, my mom was a very religious person. She was a very caring person and believed in her main thing was serving mankind, and she kind of drilled that into us through example and education.
How has that affected your leadership style?
Well, I believe in the idea of serving people to lead.
Didn't you have a little drug issue when you were a kid?
I did.
How young were you?
Well, I was about 12.
Uh-huh. And didn't you
say it was common in our area.
You had a turning point in your life when you were in your early 20s or something like that?
I was in college at 19.
Yeah.
And my mother had prayed for me, and I just had a major experience.
What was the experience? What happened?
Well, I just came to Christ, really. I hate to say it that way, but...
Why?
My way wasn't working. I was in the drug thing, and I was going the wrong way, and I had my parents both pulling me in the right way, and it was I was conflicted.
How large is this company you're running nowadays?
We have about 40 people.
What does that experience with coming to Christ and drugs have to do with building this business?
I think it's about serving people, even our clients. If we serve our clients, and I'm not saying this is a cliche or an adage or something, if we serve our clients, we're going to do well.
Mm-hmm.
And if we don't, we won't.
Joseph?
Well, you know, the corollary to that is, you know, what was Dad like? How does Dad have an influence on, A, you know, how you grew up, and then, two, how did it help build the business? Is there anything that you take from him every day?
Yeah, my dad was the first guy in the family who went to college, and he was the only one of his brothers who wasn't a millionaire.
Mm-hmm.
So he taught us the value of education and poverty, I guess. And but he believed in just being the best. And he always, not that I'm saying I am the best, because I've never got there, but he always drove it into you to be the best no matter what you do. And so that was driven in by him, and my mother had me on this serve others, and I think I got a little of the both.
Mm-hmm. Perfect.
Amanda, what are you thinking?
I know earlier you said that you started as a gopher in the company, and
yes,
now you're the number two. How did you evolve to that?
Well, I got a good opportunity at 39. I came in. I had worked at other places, a religious nonprofit group. I'd done mission work in Mexico. And I got an opportunity, but I didn't have a big construction background. But I liked learning, and I liked helping people, and I liked getting involved. And just over a period of time of attrition, I just became, I guess I knew more than everyone else that was in there, and started to just take on a leadership role through serving and helping.
It sounds to me like you really sunk your teeth into it. I mean, you're downplaying how hard you worked at this, didn't you?
Well, I work hard. There's no doubt about it.
Mm-hmm. Karen, what are you thinking?
With the transition that you went through, I'm curious of how that helps you with managing employees and the empathy that you give employees.
Well, I do give employees empathy, and maybe too much. Actually, I think it's a little bit of a weakness, and I think maybe certain people that should be moved on, I don't move them on quick enough. It's a criticism of myself, but I do feel for the people. They're people first, and their employees second.
Mm-hmm. You married or single?
I'm married.
How many years?
42.
Mm-hmm. What's the similarity between being a dad and being the COO?
Sometimes trying to manage disobedient children.
which is more difficult, being a dad or being the CEO and president?
Being a dad.
Why?
My sons are like me.
What do you mean?
They have their way of doing things. Mm-hmm. All three of my sons have worked for C. Raymond Davis. One works there now.
Mm-hmm.
He's a really good worker.
Mm-hmm.
Another one of my sons works in the trades.
Yeah.
And I have another one who's a professional looker of jobs.
Uh-huh. And tell us about at home. Who wears the pants in the family, you or your wife?
Oh, I do.
What would she say? Would she agree with that?
What, that I wear the pants?
Yeah.
Yeah, but she's the boss.
Oh, okay.
We're just talking about clothing.
I just wanted to make sure I understood.
She works at C. Raymond Davis as well.
Your wife does?
Yes, she does.
So your wife works at the same
and
company?
And so does my son.
So why is that? Why?
I ask that every day. I ask that question.
What role does your wife play in the business?
She's like a contract administrator.
Uh-huh. So you guys work together, and then you go home together.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So is it 24/7 business?
We try not to
mm-hmm.
talk about work when we go home. And I just say try because, like, we did last night. But we try not to.
But you really integrated business. Work is – does work feel like work, or is it part of your life?
It's just part of who I am.
So because you have this thing about hard work in your blood from being a janitor at the age of 12. You don't even realize it. Work is not work to you.
No, it's just something you do, you know.
Do you enjoy it?
On some days.
Uh-huh. Do you ever
it's in construction, so on some days you wonder what you're doing in the uh-huh. business.
Do you think you're going to retire someday?
No.
Why?
I don't think I have enough money to retire, number one. And I don't know really what I would do with myself unless I got some other kind of gig.
So you like being productive is the bottom
I do.
Line. What is it about being productive? Is it making the money? Is it building the team?
It's not about making the money for me. I just like the action. I just like the idea of moving forward, progressing, getting better, pleasing my dad, who's dead. You know, we get psychological here.
That's what it's about. What's the website address for this organization called
CRaymondDavis.com.
Let me have that again.
CRaymondDavis.com.
We've been speaking with Daniel Donatelli, the president and CEO of C. Raymond Davis, here on Executive Leaders Radio. Don't forget to visit our website. It's executiveleadersradio.com to learn more about our executive leaders. It's executiveleadersradio.com to learn more about our executive leaders. We'll be back in a moment right after this business spotlight.
Want help building your business with help from this show's CEOs? Our CEOs can help you uncover more opportunities, grow your sales, connect you, help you raise money, all the big issues, because our CEOs have been there and done that. They've succeeded in creating millions of jobs and earning millions of dollars, and some are available to advise you. Now, email mentors@executiveleadersradio.com. That's mentors@executiveleadersradio.com. The same CEOs you've heard on the show for 10 years may be willing to help you build your business, uncover new opportunities, grow your sales, connect you, help you raise money, all the big issues, because our CEOs have been there and done that, succeeding in creating millions of jobs and earning millions of dollars. And some are available to advise you. Now, email mentors@executiveleadersradio.com. That's mentors@executiveleadersradio.com.
It's hard to imagine, but every day, right here in our community, there are families living out of their cars, parents skipping meals so their kids will have enough to eat, and folks who can't afford electricity, no matter how hot or cold it might be outside. But you can help your neighbors in need win these battles against poverty by giving to the Salvation Army, where your donations support struggling families trying to stay afloat. Want to join this fight for good? Please visit givewestwood.org to make a donation.
Over the years, automakers have spent a lot of time talking about the future. At Kia, they don't sit around dreaming of a better tomorrow because they already made it, so that you can have it today. Introducing Kia's lineup of electrified Niro SUVs, the hybrid, the plug-in, and the electric, with an EPA estimated range of 239 miles. Because the future is just the future until we make something of it. Kia, give it everything. 239-mile EPA estimated range on a full charge. Actual range may vary. Niro EV is in select retailers and select markets with limited availability.
Did you know that chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, or COPD, affects more than 16 million Americans? Hi, I'm Senator Barbara Beaulieu from Kansas. Inhalers are an important tool for managing your COPD, but not all inhalers work the same way. There are several types of inhalers available, and each works differently. Every patient is different, so there's no one-size-fits-all approach. It's important to discuss with your doctor which inhaler is right for you. To learn more, visit womeningovernment.org.
Brembo has been stopping champions on the track as well as drivers like you and me on the street for over 50 years. Whether it's UV-coated brake discs, low-dust premium ceramic brake pads, or high-temperature brake fluid, BrembostoreUSA.com is the place to go to buy genuine Brembo OE-equivalent replacement brake components. Go to BrembostoreUSA.com to help you achieve that 60-0 braking performance you deserve and expect from Brembo. Brembo, the choice of champions and consumers for over 50 years.
We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohen. We'd like to introduce Bill Cumbie III, President and CEO of W.S. Cumbie Construction. Bill, what is W.S. Cumbie Construction?
We are a general contractor and construction manager. We were founded in 1981 by my father and grandfather. We have about 60 employees right now.
All right. And how many brothers and sisters do you have?
I was the oldest of three. I had one sister, one brother.
You're the oldest of three. And tell us about what you felt like growing up 8 to 14 years old. What was going on with you?
Well, both my parents really led by example and made clear that they would afford me lots of opportunity but expected a lot in return for that. So they really set expectations but in a way that encouraged me to go my own direction but as long as I was pushing myself.
Uh-huh. What was conversation around the dining room, around the kitchen table all about? What were you guys talking about then?
I think it was usually pretty chaotic because we had kids of different ages going to and from different activities, and my father was working very hard, still does. So, you know, I don't have a lot of like very clear memories about us all together, but I know that it was important we all came and went and saw each other at the end of the day. But it was a chaotic sort of environment.
Did you contribute to that chaos? Did you contribute to the organization of it? Did you just go do your own thing? What was your role in that whole process?
Probably individualistic a little bit, trying to do my own thing.
True.
But what was your relationship like with your grandfather?
Yeah, so the business actually started in the basement where I lived, and they were there for 5 years when I was a little kid, and my grandfather lived right down the street. So we were very close. I was also very close with my grandmother. She was very much the unconditional love giver, as grandparents tend to be, and now my father tends to do that for my kids. But my grandfather, I could always tell, I always admired from the point that I was very young, and I think we had some similarities in terms of our personality, but he was really a role model for me from the point I was very young.
And what did you think, like, seeing your dad and your grandfather out there hustling, building this business, like, what impact did that have on you?
Oh, man, that you could go on for a long time about that, and it's hard to put into specific words. It's more of this the sort of environment it created. I mean, they founded this company, created it from whole cloth, and it was very much a part of my life growing up. And now is again. And so it really was sort of the backdrop, I'd say, as opposed to, give you a specific answer to that question.
Yeah, I got you. And education, you know, was important to your parents, and they were setting the bar pretty high there, and they sent you to Shipley, a private high school, but you weren't the richest guy there. What was that experience like?
No, far from it. I mean, I think that's an example of a big investment that they made in my education and development.
Did you know at the time that was a big investment?
Yes, I did.
What did that mean to you?
Well, it meant a lot. It meant obviously their belief in what I could do. It meant their support, and it also meant that I'd be able to hopefully achieve great things.
And what did that experience at Shipley teach you about running this business today?
Oh, that's a good question. I mean, a lot. So much of those formative years in middle school and high school, right? You're learning how to relate to other people, and you're learning how to communicate with other people. And I, from the point of being a little kid, was more the sort of engineering nerd that would play with Legos and that sort of stuff.
They got you to come out of your box a little bit?
Yeah, and just learn to work with different personalities. And that's something that's hugely important. It's really most of what the business has to do.
Joseph.
I'll tell you, so what I just heard, it leads me to a very probably obvious question, right? So a lot of expectations, right? You're in the family business. You're the third.
Mm-hmm.
I guess two-part question. One, how does that drive help you, you know, build the company? And then where do you want to take the company based on that?
Yeah. Well, I should say that, you know, coming out of school, I really had no desire to go into the company at that point in time, and that wasn't because of a lack of interest or it's credit to my father and grandfather for not, you know, putting that expectation on me, but felt like I needed to go do something on my own. It's similar to the way they did. They created a business on their own, and I needed to have a career that I could call my own, and actually did that for 15 years, and it wasn't until my daughters started getting into their school age years that it all made sense to come back home, and I've been back about 3.5 years, and it's been a phenomenal experience since I've been back. So there was no pressure, specific pressure to do this for a living, but I guess maybe somewhere in the blood somewhere it was there, and here I am.
And where do you want to take it from maybe where it is today or where you came in 3 years ago to?
Well, certainly one of, you know, my grandfather's legacy, he passed 10 years ago, is important. We do a lot of work for nonprofits and churches and other institutions, and it's important for us to be part a positive part of our community. And of course the people that work for us, I think, is hugely important. To have 60 employees that whose livelihoods are very intertwined with a business, means a lot. It's a lot of pressure, but it's just incredibly rewarding as well.
Amanda?
What was your relationship with your mom like growing up?
Yeah, so my mother is a very fiercely independent woman, and I think I get some of that independence from her, and I hope So I see my daughter show some of that independence already. And that's been a wonderful thing. I mean, she was the first woman in her family to go to college and came from a Greek Orthodox family where the role of women in that family was very prescribed. And, that wasn't what she was going to do. So she went and did her own thing anyway. And I obviously have a huge amount of admiration for that.
So how's that admiration for your mom doing her own thing? How's that show up in business? How's that aid in your growing this business?
Oh, man, Herb, you asked the tough ones. Again, it's really hard to come up with a very specific answer to that. So much of what I think of who I am as a leader today, you know, was really following examples that I saw. It wasn't that I can remember, you know, two snippets of advice or something like that. It was that I got to watch really my mother, my father, and my grandfather lead by example. I got to watch them do it.
What's that have to do with the way you build the company?
Well, the one thing I think I like to focus on is we're always learning and we're always observing. So that's something that, you know, watching people.
Do you think it's really important that you're a role model? Do you try to be a good role model? Do you put a lot of heat on yourself to be a good role model?
I do. I mean, I think leading by example is the most effective way to get people involved, to get people bought into what you're trying to accomplish. And an employee or anyone, child who's genuinely bought into an accomplishment is going to be far more effective at doing
right.
it. So it's a win-win.
It's not too hard to realize that because you had three people you really had a great deal of respect for, your mom, your dad, and your grandfather. And the bottom line is that's who you want to be. Karen?
Well, I'm curious. You mentioned your children. How many daughters do you have?
I have two daughters.
Okay. Where do you see yourself as a role model, and will they be going into the business?
Oh, well, they're 8 and 6 right now. So, you know, and they couldn't be more different. And I could talk about them all morning. I'm fortunate that they have a great role model and their mother as well. But I would love to see them, you know, flourish in any way that they would like, as long as they understand that an important part of life is challenging yourself and trying to take on challenges.
Sounds like you, Bill. Yeah,
so speaking about challenges, you mentioned that you played lacrosse in high school.
I did.
And what position were you on the lacrosse field?
I was an attackman.
And I think you said you weren't the best player on the field. Is that what?
No, and close to the slowest.
Right. But with that being said, you kind of played a special role. And so, what is the character trait of an attackman on the lacrosse field?
Well, when you don't have speed, you got to make up for it with observation and being in the right place at the right time.
Right, and that comes with learning, right?
It does, and observing.
And how has that experience on the cross field impacted you as a leader?
It's a good question. I think a passion for learning and an ability to observe your surroundings, to try to anticipate what other people are going to do, to try to understand their incentives or why they may do one thing versus another.
What would your teammates say about you?
They would say I was slow.
What's the
better passer than shooter today?
What's the website address of this organization known as WS Cumbie Construction?
It is just cumbie.com, C-U-M-B-Y.com.
C-U-M-B-Y.com. We've been speaking with Bill Cumbie III, President and CEO of WS Cumbie Construction, here on Executive Leaders Radio. Don't forget to visit our website. It's executiveleadersradio.com to learn more about our executive leaders. We'll be back in a moment right after this break.
Now's the time to join the Brotherhood of Muscle, because we're offering Dodge Power Dollars, which means for each horsepower, you'll get $10 off your purchase. Roll out in a Challenger SRT Hellcat Red Eye and get $7,970 off. Maybe you'll take off in a Dodge Charger or tear up the streets in a Durango. Hurry in to your local Dodge dealer now and save. See dealer for details. Offer not available on vehicle leases. Take retail delivery from dealer stock by 9/30/19. Dodge is a registered trademark of FCA US LLC.
Hey, there's a new type of account takeover attack called lateral phishing.
It's a serious threat. Cybercriminals hijack your email account and use it to launch phishing attacks on your internal and external contacts.
What if they attack us?
Don't worry. We have Barracuda Total Email Protection.
So we're secured?
Completely. With the industry's best layered defense against attacks, including account takeover and phishing.
That's a relief.
Protect your business at Barracuda.com. Barracuda, your journey secured.
Staples is more than a place you go to make copies.
It's where a conversation with an associate sparked the idea for my business card to double as a coupon. And it's where I go to reach potential customers with custom postcards.
Staples can help make your big ideas bigger ideas. And right now, when you make a select print and marketing services purchase, you receive 20% off your next order. Staples, for your business printing and beyond. In-store only, ends 11/9/19. Exclusions apply. See staples.com/print20 for details.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Right now, Doctors Without Borders medical teams are operating in some of the most remote and dangerous corners of the world. When front yards become front lines, when disaster erupts, when disease rages, when communities collapse under crisis, at the crossroads of conflict and epidemic, where there are no hospitals, that's where we operate. We go where conditions are the worst because that's where we're needed most. In nearly 70 countries, we're saving lives threatened by violence, disease, malnutrition, and catastrophic events. Donors are vital to our mission. Your response is critical to our response in places where few others will go. That's where we operate. Learn more at doctorswithoutborders.org.
Back, you're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohen. We'd like to introduce Bill Santora, who's the CEO of A&E Construction Company. Bill, what is A&E Construction Company? What are you guys doing?
A&E Construction is a commercial general contractor and construction management company.
Mm-hmm. How large or how small is it?
We have approximately 95 people.
Who started the business?
My father.
Uh-huh. How young were you when you started making money, and what were you doing?
I was around 14 years old.
Uh-huh. What were you doing?
Delivering newspapers, shoveling snow, cutting wood, lawns, whatever it took.
How about the pizza? You delivered pizza too?
That's when I was around 16.
Oh, as you got older. So why were you doing all these different things?
Well, when you worked for my father, uh-huh. You didn't get paid. So when you wanted money, you had to do something else too.
Wait. So you were working in the family's business, but you weren't getting paid, and in order to make money, you did even more work.
Yes.
So you just worked and then worked.
Yes.
Okay. How many brothers and sisters do you have?
I have four siblings.
So you're the, where are you in the pecking order?
I'm fourth of the fifth.
You're the fourth of five. And how many different schools did you go to when you were a kid?
Five.
Why'd you go to five schools?
I lost focus on the right things.
Well, what do you mean you lost focus on the right things? What are you talking about?
I wasn't a good student.
You weren't a good student. Why weren't you a good student?
Well, back then you didn't know it, but I had ADD.
Back then you didn't know it, you had ADD. Okay, so how'd that make you feel?
Sometimes it bummed you out when you didn't get good grades, but I let things roll off my shoulders.
So you went to a bunch of different schools, and you didn't do very well, and nobody understood what was really going on with you, and you didn't understand what was going on with you. So let me ask you, how'd that period of time help you build this business, which is now 95 people?
Well, that's what we did. We worked.
Tell me more about that. What do you mean?
Well, as I said, I worked as a pizza guy, a snow guy, a paper boy. I worked for my neighbor's chroming shop down in North Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. And we worked.
So you know that when you're having a problem, you just work your way out of it.
Yeah. I'm known for being the problem solver.
Just to work your way out of it. Don't complain. There's no use being a victim. Just go work your way out of it.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Drew?
Yeah, Bill, I just want to ask about your father. So he started this business 40-some years ago. And what was your relationship like with your dad?
We were very close.
And tell us about your father a little. What was he like?
He was unique. My father would do anything for anybody. Wake us up in the middle of the night and go fix somebody's hot water heater, their boiler, whatever it took. He was a jack of all trades.
And why would he do that?
It's just who he was.
And was he well respected in the community, your dad?
I would think so, yes.
And what did that mean to you, like being a kid, seeing your dad well respected like that?
It meant a lot. All our friends, our neighbors worked with my dad on and off, and they all really liked him and respected him.
And have you followed in his footsteps in that regard? Do you help the neighbor out?
Yes, I do. As a matter of fact, yesterday, my neighbor's tree fell. Well, it was 2 days ago. And last night, I brought him a bucket truck and took it off.
How'd that make you feel?
Felt great.
And how about Mom? Can you tell us about Mom?
My mom was very special. She cared about everybody. She worked for the Catholic Church. Had a corner office downtown and didn't like being there and asked to be put back out in the field at Casa del Carmen and help the real people.
How did she show you or demonstrate like how much she cared for people?
She's always forgiving.
Yeah, and helping people?
Yeah, helped anybody she could,
and
yes.
So what do you bring to work from Mom every day?
Mom's charity came to work a long time ago, and it's been there ever since.
And what do you hear Dad telling you when you have sort of a tough decision to make at the office?
Get it done.
Okay, I love it. Get it done.
Joseph?
Well, it's family business, right?
Yes.
Right. And of the 95, I mean, do you have other relatives that work within the business?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, my brother's my partner. My sister's in charge of marketing. My other brother's our pre-construction services. And my oldest sister used to work for us, but she had dyslexia. Mm-hmm. And she wrote a check instead of $38,000 for $83,000, so we decided she was in the wrong job. And she left and went to work at Sacred Heart. And ironically, every grandchild of my parents has worked at the company as long as they've been 16 years or older so far.
Why?
It's just what you do. It's your family, and they needed jobs from summer, and that's what you did.
What do you mean it's family? You give them, what are you talking about?
Well, they need a job. You give them a job. You put them to work. I actually fired my nephew, a godson, his first summer. Mm-hmm. And he came back and proved himself and worked harder and did much better.
But so you use the business as a training ground to tune somebody's soul, don't you?
Pretty much.
Mm-hmm. You feel a responsibility toward the family to help keep them engaged, to help them earn an income.
Exactly.
What's that have to do with the way that you treat your employees and the culture in the company?
Well, we treat our employees as family. We feel that we are one big family. And
yeah, I sort of believe it because of the way you treat the family. It sounds to me like it's really embedded in the culture of the team.
It is.
Mm-hmm. Amanda?
Seems like you have this sense of charity ever since you were young. How does that translate now? I know you support a lot of charities, and how do you teach your employees to have that same appreciation?
Well, number one, we want our employees to be involved, not just in the charities that our companies do, but in coaching, reffing, whatever it takes with their kids. Charity is very important. We're involved with Unico. We're involved with Boys and Girls Club. We're involved with MS. We're involved with I forget the first name of it, but the closet, where they have the clothes for the people. Mm-hmm. We're involved in every charity out there, it seems like.
And how do you go about involving your team in these charities?
Well, if we buy a table, we bring them with us to, the Union League. I'll use an example. One of our employees' parents have never been to the Union League. And we said, well, why don't you bring them? You know, we've been there. We opened up a seat. So we usually buy a table, and we bring different groups, people that are working there.
Why?
Why do we bring them?
Yeah.
Because they're the reason we're where we are today.
Because you want to expose them. You want to help educate them. You think bringing them to these events helps expose them and tune them up and teach them?
It definitely helps teach them, but I also think it's nice for them to experience those kind of functions.
So they can they appreciate you bringing them to these functions. Uh-huh. Karen, what are you thinking?
So you mentioned your brother's your partner. Can you talk a little bit about the relationship from childhood to now?
So my brother and I are 11 months apart. No, 13 months apart. I'm sorry. And back in the day, we would get in a major fist fight. Mom would break it up and go upstairs, take a shower, and she'd be like, where are you guys going? We're going over to so-and-so's house. And she'd be like, are you going to be all right? And we're very close. So, but back then, we couldn't work together. And about 15 years ago, he was in charge of a commercial contracting for retail. And he was going to leave. And I invited him to join me. And he's been my partner ever since. And in that 15 years, there's been zero arguments.
And I think earlier I heard you call him your best friend.
No doubt.
Uh-huh. So it's interesting. So you think part of a relationship is being able to agree and disagree, but yet stay on the same page.
Yeah, there's no doubt that the reason we're doing it is for the same reason. We each have three children. No, I have three. He has two. I'm sorry. Uh-huh. But we each have children that we wanted to educate better than we were educated. And not because of a lack of trying. My parents would have sent us anywhere. It was just neither one of us were educated. Mm-hmm. So
you really, you believe that, you know, it's okay to disagree as long as you're on the same page. How's that help you build in the business, the fact that everybody, you know, that you like different opinions?
Well, different opinions is good growth. You look at it, and if you don't let somebody else give you your opinion, then it's your way and only your way. And what happens if there's a better way?
Wait a minute. So you're open to other ways of doing things? I thought that the CEO, it's my way or the highway.
No, not in our company.
Okay, just wanted to make sure, Drew.
No, you're an interesting mix because you could tell you're a pretty tough guy, Bill, but you are also have an emotional side to you and a big heart. And is that a blend of your mom and dad, or?
Yeah, I wouldn't call me a tough guy, though. I'm pretty easygoing.
All right.
If I blow up once a year,
I'm just thinking about you beating up your brow.
No. I didn't say I won.
Wait, what's the website address for A&E Construction?
AEConstruction.com.
AEConstruction.com. We've been speaking with Bill Santora, CEO of A&E Construction, here on Executive Leaders Radio. Again, don't forget to visit our website, executiveleadersradio.com. Learn more about our executive leaders. We'll be back in a moment right after this Business Spotlight.
Want help building your business with help from this show's CEOs? Our CEOs can help you uncover more opportunities, grow your sales, connect you, help you raise money, all the big issues, because our CEOs have been there and done that. They've succeeded in creating millions of jobs and earning millions of dollars, and some are available to advise you. Now, email mentors@executiveleadersradio.com. That's mentors@executiveleadersradio.com. The same CEOs you've heard on the show for 10 years may be willing to help you build your business, uncover new opportunities, grow your sales, connect you, help you raise money, all the big issues, because our CEOs have been there and done that, succeeding in creating millions of jobs and earning millions of dollars. And some are available to advise you. Now, email mentors@executiveleadersradio.com. That's mentors@executiveleadersradio.com.
The big news from Subaru is the three-row Ascent. It's the biggest SUV from Subaru ever. There's room for 7 or 8 passengers with a choice of second-row captain's chairs or bench seating. It'll tow up to 5,000 pounds. It has interior space you need for your whole crew. And it gets you where you want to go with the safety of a Subaru, including standard symmetrical all-wheel drive. The three-row Subaru Ascent. Love is now bigger than ever. Maximum towing capacity varies by trim level, and trailer brakes may be required. See your retailer for details.
Cancer is the number one cause of death by disease for children in the U.S. today. Since the Austin Hatcher Foundation's birth in 2006, it has grown to provide unique programs to help the children and the families affected by pediatric cancer. Support begins at the time of diagnosis and continues throughout survivorship at no cost to families. Lives touched by the foundation continue to rise each day. But we need your help. Donate, volunteer, or partner with the Austin Hatcher Foundation. Learn how you can get involved. Visit hatcherfoundation.org for more information.
Where do you want to go on a vacation or honeymoon? The Caribbean, Europe, Hawaii, Mexico? How about Disney or a cruise? At Superior Cruise and Travel, we've got you covered. We'll assign you your own travel concierge. They'll help you design a custom vacation plan that you can't find online. And the service is completely free.
You can't compare the value of this to any other online travel company. We can help you plan a custom vacation anywhere in the world. We even offer payment plans with no credit card required. Now you pay off your vacation on your time schedule. Call now and mention the promo code RADIO and save up to $500. Book your custom trip. Call Superior Cruise and Travel now and talk to one of the highest-rated travel agencies in the country with a 5-star A-plus online rating.
800-643-8577. 800-643-8577. 800-643-8577. That's 800-643-8577.
Ah, the bull elk's bugle, one of nature's most wondrous sounds. That is not a bull elk, that's Kim. Her RV sewage tank is spewing all over her camper. Way, way out in the middle of elk country. Yep, there's an elk. And that's Kim. It's wild out there. When it gets too wild, Progressive has your RV covered. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
The Can-Am Off-Road Yellow Tag Sales Event is going on now. Hit the trails in the ultimate off-road vehicle. Can-Am is built for ripping through trails, crawling through mud, cruising over dunes, getting the job done, and saving you money. Stop by your local dealer during the Yellow Tag Sales Event and find a great deal or rebate on select Can-Am off-road vehicles today.
Back, you're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohen. We'd like to introduce Chris Pearson, Executive Vice President of the Tri-M Group. Chris, what is the Tri-M Group? What are you guys doing?
The Tri-M Group is a specialty contractor, mostly in the electrical building automation fields.
And how large or how small is this team?
So we have 4 office locations and over 500 employees.
And have you ever had any other full-time job?
No, I've not. I've started right out of college.
And how many years you've been there?
30 years.
Mm-hmm. How young were you when you started making money?
I was around 11 or 12 years old.
What kind of stuff were you doing?
So I started out with a paper route after school every day.
Mm-hmm.
And then I worked in the mushroom industry. Mm-hmm. I worked at a gas station, at a retirement community, a bunch of different part-time jobs.
Why?
Because if I wanted something, I was always taught that you had to go get it. And from a very young age, work ethic and hard work.
But your father was running this business. Don't you think he would have given you money and stuff like that?
Actually, my father was not involved in the business.
Oh.
My father was from the mushroom industry.
Oh, is that so? Uh-huh, Drew?
Tell us a little about your dad. Number one, didn't you tell us that your dad told you about this company?
Yeah, so my father worked in the mushroom industry, which was very long hours and working over the holidays. And when I was looking for a full-time job, my father had suggested I go and apply at Tri-M. He had worked with Tri-M with his current employer and had very good things to say. One of the founders, Dick Musser, he had worked with personally and thought very highly of the company.
Wow, that's fascinating. You're still there today, huh?
Yes.
What did your dad teach you?
He taught me hard work, integrity.
Come on, tell us about the snowball incident.
So, growing up, my father was pretty strict. And when I was about 14 years old, some of my friends and I had decided to throw some snowballs at cars, which wasn't the first time we did it. And we happened to hit a mushroom truck. And they basically came, found us, told us that we ruined all the mushrooms in the truck. And when my father came home, I decided to tell him what had happened because he was in the industry and would have found out. And I was expecting a stern lecture to be grounded. And basically my father said, we all make mistakes. Don't worry about it. If anything needs to happen, we'll take care of it.
Well, how did that experience affect you today? Like, what do you think about today when you think back on that?
So thinking back, I never realized that side of my father until that came out. And that really helped me to get where I am today and how I deal with people, because people will make mistakes, and it's how you handle those mistakes and learn from them, that really helps people grow.
And are your employees important to you at Triumph?
They're extremely important. They're the reason why we're in business, and they're the reason why we are successful.
And how do you demonstrate that they're so important?
So we provide training opportunities for all of our employees. They can move up or move across different parts of the company. And, you know, we've had people who've been apprentices that are now project managers, and we want them to have a career at Triumph.
Amanda.
I think taking it from the flip side of the snowball incident, you went and preemptively told your dad instead of trying to hide it. How do you feel like that characteristic plays into who you are now in your job?
Well, that goes back to integrity. And my father had integrity and taught me in my formative years, you know, to be honest, to do the right thing. And it's something that myself and my partners all agree in, is that, you know, integrity is the most important thing for us as a company and how we run the company.
Did you have a question about his girls or something like that?
Yeah, and he said, mentioned you had three girls, one of which I do know. Do you feel that any of them are similar to you and are following in your footsteps?
Yes, my youngest, she's always been interested in what I do. And when in class, when she was younger, she said that her father signed papers. And that was because when I came home at night, I would review contracts, review documents, and I'd be signing them and what have you. But she has always shown an interest in what I do. And she's now 16 years old and is involved in politics. She's gone down to Washington, D.C. with me the last couple of years and met politicians and has shown a real interest in that and, you know, an interest in the company in mm-hmm. general.
Joseph?
Well, we're actually sitting, those of you on radio don't know, we're in the ABC offices in East Norton, and we're in the W. Thomas Musser boardroom, who was a founder of Triumph. I know one of his mottos was, you know, you take care of the employees, they'll take care of the clients, and then therefore you're going to build your business. One, I know that still occurs, but how does that correlate, because you've been there for 30 years, how that then correlates to the staff and the folks that you work with?
So I started there as a co-op and was given the opportunity to achieve and move up in the company. And I'm the type of person that always looks for more and more responsibility. And Triumph was a place and still is a place where those that want the responsibility, there's places for them to move up and to grow. And, you know, to this day, it's still one of our strongest principles is take care of our people, they'll take care of our customers, and that'll take care of business.
Karen?
Yeah, and you are a member of ABC. You've been a member for a long time. Can you tell us why is it so important to your organization?
Sure. So Tom Musser was one of probably the original people that was involved when this chapter was formed. And it's always been important to us and to me because we are a merit shop-based company, which means, you know, we reward people that excel, and everyone's not cast in the same box. And I feel it's very important to, at this point, almost give back to ABC and to their members because they've helped us succeed over those 55 years. And, you know, having like-minded companies, having like-minded people really helps the industry and helps, you know, keep the merit shop philosophy going.
And how have they helped you over those years?
So they're always, our ABC is always there for advice when it comes to certain issues. They have training, ongoing training sessions and seminars. They are heavily involved in workforce development, which is extremely important in this day and age. And, you know, the different memberships, the different committees they have help you legally, help you grow as a company, help you get involved with politics, and help changing the direction of where some of the industry may be going.
Cool.
Chris, how about Mom? We talked a lot about Dad. What was Mom like growing up?
So Mom was a wonderful woman. She was kind, caring, accepting of everyone and was always a positive influence and encouraging you to do more.
And what do you bring to work every day that mom taught you?
So for me, the biggest thing would be empathy. Empathy for other people, accepting.
No, wait. Drew asked you, what do you bring from work from mom every day? You're running a business with 500 people that you've built over 30 years or so, and you're telling me that empathy is the thing you bring from mom to work every day that's helped you build this business?
Yes, it was one of the things that's helped build this business. You have to...
Empathy?
Yeah, you have to understand where...
I read the newspapers every day. I don't read about that. I hear about if you don't do your job, you're fired. You're talking about the opposite, aren't you?
Yes.
Tell us more about this.
So, again, we invest very heavily in our employees, and you know, part of it is being able to relate to them, understand what they're going through, because it may not be something that's obvious. And any way that we can help them grow, help them with different situations they're facing, that's what we do day in and day out.
And
we build people.
Didn't you mention, too, charity was important to you?
Yes, we're very involved with, we're from Chester County, and we're very involved locally with different organizations.
Why do you do that?
Again, we feel it's important to give back to the community, to be a steward of the community, and, you know, we get back to areas that help people that may not be as fortunate as we are, our employees, mm-hmm. our employees are.
What's the website address for this group known as the Tri-M Group?
So our website address is tri-mgroup.com. tri-mgroup.com.
Excellent. We've been speaking with Chris Pearson, Executive Vice President of the Tri-M Group here on Executive Leaders Radio. Drew, can you give us a rundown who else we've had the opportunity
to speak with? Sure, Will. What a great show we had today. We had Daniel Donatelli, the present COO of C. Raymond Davis. We had Bill Cumby III, who's the president of W.S. Cumby Construction. Bill Santora, CEO of A&E Construction. And we were just talking to Chris Pearson, the Executive Vice President of the Tri-M Group.
I would like to thank my co-hosts, including Joe Papilia, President and CEO of ABC East, Amanda Strempak, Membership, and Karen Higgins, Marketing, for giving me a hand structuring the questions. He'll be providing our listening audience an educational and entertaining show. Thank you, our listening audience, for listening. Otherwise, we wouldn't have a radio show. Don't forget to visit our website. It's executiveleadersradio.com. To learn more about our executive leaders, thank you for joining us today, and have a nice day. Bye-bye.